Good morning, everyone. Thank you so much for taking a break from your regular routines to meet with me and to talk about the children's ministry and what Scripture has to say about kids. They are truly a blessing from the Lord. We have an amazing group of kids here at Bridal Trail, and they are so hungry for the Lord. I know that because when we used to meet together, the kids would come in and walk right up to the prayer wall. At our prayer wall, they would just take a little slip of paper and they would write down their prayers to the Lord. It would be like a prayer of thanks, like, thank you, Lord, for my family. Thank you, Lord, for my friends. Or they would make a prayer of praise, saying, God, you are so awesome. Some other prayers would be prayers of confession, like, dear Lord, I'm really sorry I was disobedient to my parents this week. Yeah, I hit a lot of people. And sometimes they would make a request for all kinds of things. But the most striking one that I hear from kids is when they say, Lord, can you help me believe in you more? Can you help my faith to grow? And so yes, I know they are very, very hungry for the Lord. I wish you could hear some of the questions the kids ask on Sundays, like, Melissa, who is God again? And how is Jesus, God the Father, and the Holy Spirit God all at the same time? And if the Holy Spirit is the Holy Ghost, then does that mean that all ghosts exist? Or one of my recent favorites, so Adam and Eve got tricked by a snake. How did that happen? I would never fall for something like that. So yes, we have a lot of fun together. Children are precious, gifts from the Lord. They have much to offer the church. Like it says in Psalm 123, children are a gift from the Lord. They are a reward from Him. Yes, children are a gift from God. But I know on some days when you're tired, maybe it's been a long day, or maybe you're at home with the kids all day long with their delightful, wonderful energy, and it may affect your mood, and if you're honest with yourself, parenting, it doesn't always feel magical. And I know some parents, they feel alone in their struggles, and for some of them it can be very isolating. And so we start to question, does God really care about our struggles as parents? Does He care about what happens with our kids? And of course He does. I want to remind you this day that God does have a lot of things to say about children and parents in His Word. We are going to focus on one of the most go-to passages about children and unpack that a little bit. Mark chapter 10, verse 13 to 16. In just a few verses, Jesus tells us so much. So let's look at that today. People were bringing little children to Jesus for Him to place His hands on them. But the disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw this, He was indignant. He said to them, "Let the little children come to Me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. I tell you the truth, anyone who does not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." And He took the children in His arms, placed His hands on them, and blessed them. So let's get a little context here in today's passage. Here we have Jesus. He's already a well-known teacher in His ministry at that time. And we start off with people, most likely parents, in verse 13, and they're bringing their kids to Jesus. It was very common for parents in those days to bring their children to rabbis because it was believed that a rabbi's blessing would protect a child from getting a disease or an injury that could cause death. And so they would bring their kids, hoping that that blessing would help them grow up to be healthy and strong. So most scholars believe that the children that were brought to Jesus in this passage were very, very young, like babies or toddlers. And these young children in those days were not highly valued members of society. It's because they were unable to participate in the religious practices back then. It's not like they could bring their own lamb. And it's not like the temple had their own children's program. They were not considered to have much value until they could actively participate. Which is why the disciples were like, ugh, stop, go away, stop bothering Jesus. No, maybe the disciples thought that Jesus was above such work. Or maybe they just meant well and wanted to give Jesus a break. But in verse 14, Jesus saw what they were doing and was indignant. I had to look up that word because a while back I thought that that meant that Jesus was just, you know, a little bit annoyed and had to give the disciples a gentle reminder. So you're like, you know, don't do that. But what indignant actually means was that Jesus was more than annoyed. He was angry, very angry. What we see in the passage here is the heart of God and how passionate he is about our children. And how angry he gets when they are so easily dismissed. So let's look a little deeper into this passage and see what Jesus is saying about children. First, children need to be brought to Jesus. Let them come. We need to let them and encourage them to come. Just like those parents brought their little ones to Jesus. Like I said, by this point, Jesus was a well-known teacher and prophet. Some people had received healing from him, they've witnessed his miracles, and so Jesus attracted quite a crowd at that time in his ministry. And so he was not easy to get to, you know, which is why we have stories like four particular friends who had to dig through a roof just so they could get their friends to Jesus. And we also have the account of a short man who was so desperate to see Jesus that he climbed up a tree. Really little children, especially infants, aren't quite at the climbing stage. Although, some toddlers, I bet we could find some who would love to tear a roof apart. But the point is, kids can't plan ahead and find out where Jesus is and then bring themselves to them. And it's not like anyone else is going to make sure that they get to see Jesus. Young children are so small and dependent on their parents. These tiny little babies needed to physically be carried and brought to Jesus by their parents. You know, a task that must have been really difficult back then with no strollers and no updates on exactly where Jesus was at that time. This took a lot of planning and effort. So why did the parents put themselves through all of that? Well, it's because they understood the value of bringing their kids to Jesus. They endured the inconvenience and the stress of traveling with kids to make sure that they didn't miss out on being brought to Jesus. And God takes this whole idea of kids being brought to him seriously. God has a desire for all children to know him. We can see that all over the text. Let them come. And in verse 14, do not hinder them. To hinder someone, like a child, is to create difficulties, blocks, or barriers so that they are unable to achieve a goal, like getting to know Jesus. And the problem with doing this to a child is that a child can't really advocate for themselves. And sometimes, children don't have someone who is willing to advocate for them. So how do we make sure that we as a church or parents aren't hindering our kids? Well, the first thing is we need to make room for them. Make room for them to be brought to the Lord. Here is what I mean. When parents bring home a brand new baby, they've made room for this baby. Either that means setting up a crib somewhere special, or maybe they have a whole nursery with a nice theme. The point is that they've made room for this baby. They have prepared for it. And they do this because their new baby belongs with them. It's just like it says in verse 14. The kingdom of heaven belongs to them, and the them is the children. Our children belong in our church community, and we show children that they belong by including them. That's one way we make room. They need to know that in the community of the church, that they are not some sub little community sitting there all on their own, but instead they are a part of a larger church community. And sometimes that looks like the church ensuring that we have enough space for our kids. Or sometimes that means that their needs are being considered as the church together moves forward. Sometimes that means a parent that they're making room for their kid to have a daily devotions, even in a busy schedule. And they protect that time so that nothing else can interfere with it. I wonder, what could we do to adjust our time so that we make room for our kids to spend time with Jesus? And I wonder what God can do with that time that we give to Him, even when it seems inconvenient or when it's time-consuming. I am so thankful for the people we have here at BTBC, the parents who routinely brought their kids to church and now are bringing their kids to the online services and are being so supportive. I am so thankful for the teams of people that I've seen step up over the years to help the younger generation, and they serve the Lord through various different ways. Now, I am not trying to say that everybody needs to sign up to teach Sunday school in the children's ministry, because let's be honest, not everybody is a good teacher, and some of you are already involved in two or three other ministries. So this is not about guilt-tripping anyone. You know your heart, what God has given you, and what you're capable of. And parents, sometimes it's just about 5 minutes with your own kid at the end of the day, or maybe during dinner, answering their questions, or sharing with your kids how much Jesus means to you. Opening these doors are how we don't hinder our kids. Another way to ensure that our kids aren't hindered is by teaching them. When a child meets someone who just loves Jesus to the point where it just oozes out of them, that makes an impression that lasts. When they see this, it's like an invitation to know and love the Lord like you do. I believe that teaching our children about Jesus is the best way to bring them before Him. When you take the time to teach a child about Jesus, you are making an impact on them that is going to last for the rest of their life. For example, when you teach a child how to pray or worship, you are teaching them to bring their heart and mind before the Lord. And as they grow older, they can put that into practice on their own. All the time I hear testimonies about adults who have the Holy Spirit working on their hearts, and they bring to their mind the lessons that they learned as a child. Now, of course, not all learning is limited to the Sunday school room. Parents, guardians, grandparents, you are teaching children the biggest how-tos in life, like how to potty, how to walk, how to talk, and then how to use those words appropriately when you are frustrated. How does life work? You are teaching them the how-tos on what is right and what is wrong, how God is relevant to everyday life, and how to live your life as a Christian. You're also teaching them how to come before Jesus. Right now, we are teaching our children how to react in the midst of a global crisis and an uncertain future. In the future, 10 years from now, our kids are not going to remember all the details about this virus, but what they will remember is how things felt inside their home. Is there faith or fear in your house? Right now, this is what we're teaching our children. And I know some parents, when they hear about teaching their children, they immediately think about how impossible of a challenge it is and how busy life gets and how they are failing to bring their kids before the Lord. And I just want to encourage you today, and I pray that God's word will inspire you. If you feel like you are falling short, then start fresh today. Bring yourself and your kids before Jesus. God sees that you are trying. He sees you in your struggles as a parent. You know, and maybe it's time to give yourself permission to not be this completely perfect, unattainable parent that you have in your mind. Maybe it's time to let that go. Don't compare yourself with other parents that you see on Facebook with all their little lovely happy family pictures. I guarantee they are struggling with something as well. Maybe it's time to admit that you need Jesus in your parenting. Let them come to Jesus. And maybe it's time you forgave yourself for messing up, for not being present enough, for not being patient enough. Start fresh today by bringing yourself and your children before Jesus. Let them come. We serve a God who gives second chances. And sometimes we need to give them to ourselves too. Bring your child. We need to remember that you parents are the first Bible a kid is ever going to read. Remember, parents, you are the first people to bring your kids to Jesus. Parents, your role in your child's spiritual development cannot be understated. I wonder how the parents of our church can bring their kids before the Lord in a new way this week. Another way to really make sure that you are not hindering your children is by helping them cultivate a relationship with God. Teach them rhythms. And by rhythms, I mean something that you do regularly to help your spiritual development. So that could be like reading a little bit of God's word on a daily basis, praying and worshiping together as a family regularly. The rhythm of coming to church, even when it's online, and participating in church community. It can be as simple as learning what works with your kids and what will help them grow and connect and experience God. And for some, that's answering their lingering questions and their doubts about God in a safe place, or growing in their understanding that they are fearfully and wonderfully made by God, and then seeing that in God's Word. Kids need to learn and develop in their understanding that they are loved by God, so that they can start to bring themselves before Him because they know and they were taught how to. So let them come. The second lesson Jesus is saying about children is, children need to be loved. Jesus loves His children. He loves them enough to call out His disciples and not just wave at the kids at a distance or throw them a candy. He got close. He held them. He spent some quality time with them. And He blessed them. What we see in today's passage is a part of the heart of God. He loves our children. He loves your children. When I was in teacher's college, I taught at a placement that had like 32 students. About 9 of them were in grade 5, the rest of them were in grade 6, and it was in an open concept school. And for those who don't know, that is a school with no walls, essentially, or hallways. And you can see and hear everything that's happening in all of the other classrooms around you. And I also had about 9 kids who were at different levels of learning English, so their lessons needed to be modified. And yeah, so to say that I was stressed was an understatement. But then my host teacher, she asked me something that really stopped my mind from focusing too much on the work. She asked me, "Do you love them?" And I was taken back, like, whoa, this is a public school. There are expectations and boundaries. But she continued, do you love them? Because if you don't, you might as well leave and not come back. Because until you love them, you can't teach them. You need to love them. And that will look different depending on your gifts and who you are. That could look like holding your child accountable for bad behavior. It could look like spending time with the child and caring about what is going on in their life and how do they see things and what do they feel about things. It can look like taking the time to learn a kid's name and say hello to them, even though you don't teach Sunday school. In the time that Jesus lived, children, again, were not valued all that much because they were unable to participate in the religious practices. What Jesus did was the radical thing. By choosing to love them and allow them to participate by spending time with him. If you think about it, Jesus had a 3-year ministry, which is really not that long. And so every single thing that he did was intentional. And everything we find in the Gospels are also intentional. And we see some accounts of Jesus going out of his way to include people in a society that are usually marginalized, like those who have leprosy, tax collectors like Zacchaeus or Matthew, women like Mary, Martha, and the Samaritan woman, and of course, children. And out of all the accounts that we see Jesus here standing up for children. So the question I wonder is, have we as a church learned the lesson that Jesus is trying to teach here? Have we as a church really learned that God deeply loves his children and wants them to experience his presence? Do we understand what that means? Make sure your kids are brought to Jesus. You know, ensure that they are going to be taught about him and that they feel loved by him because they have a deep spiritual desire for their Savior that they don't understand yet. And if we don't love them enough to teach them, the world will gladly teach them something else. God loves our children and hates it when people turn his children away. Let them come. The thing is, we can actually learn a lot from children. Which brings me to my third point. Childlikeness should be sought. Now, I am not suggesting here that we all go around and start to act like children. What I am suggesting is that we consider how we can receive God's kingdom like a child. Just like it says in verse 15, truly I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a child will never enter it. So how do we receive the kingdom like a child? What can we learn from children? Well, there's 3 things that we can learn. The first is, we can learn the joys of receiving. Have you ever given a child a gift? Or do you maybe remember when you were a kid on Christmas morning, or it was right before some sort of trip that you were so excited for? And you could just feel the excitement charging through every fiber of your being. And you just could not sit still. You know, most kids I know, they love gifts and prizes. They get so excited. Of course, people of all ages, they do show excitement, yes. But not a lot of people can express the joys of receiving as well as a child. If you don't believe me, ask a parent. Ask them what it is like for them to give their child something, or the gift of experiencing something brand new for the first time. So it reminds me of a time that I was on an airplane. Same old for me. but not for the kids, the ones that were sitting right in front of me and right behind me. They were very loud, and they made sure that everybody on the plane knew that this trip was a present for them, and they were so excited for the new experience. And so every time the plane did something or moved, even a little bit, they gave a little shrill of excitement because they just could not contain themselves during that flight. One of the things I have learned over and over from kids is to remember the joy in what has become the everyday. Remember the joy you felt when you first received Christ? The deep joy of receiving God's salvation and the excitement of your future with Him? And then somewhere along the line, we lose that excitement. Like, I see adults all the time. Yes, praise God. Yes, God is great. Yes, he died on the cross for my sins. Yes, that's right. No, we have such an amazing gift from God. And seeing excitement, and seeing the excitement that children have is a great reminder of why we need to never grow tired of remembering the amazing things that God has done for us. May the cross never become tedious or mundane to us. May we always have joy in our hearts when we reflect on God. Receive His kingdom joyfully like a child, and don't lose the joy of the cross. Another lesson we can learn from children is to keep it simple. I think sometimes that we, as adults, we like to overcomplicate things. Things like salvation. And we take this overcomplication way too far. I don't know if it's because we want people to know that we possess some intelligence, or we want to take into account all these different opinions or other arguments that sound kind of good, but they're not quite biblical, so we're not too sure. And all of this can distract from a simple truth, which is God loves people. God loves you and wants you to receive His salvation. So when you turn to God and repent from your sins, you can be a part of God's kingdom. When I explain salvation to a child, I keep it very simple. And it has been a gift to teach them Bible stories and to figure out how to explain complicated biblical concepts in a simple way. So, how is this a gift? When you make things simple, it helps you by forcing you to focus on the most important parts. We, as adults, again, have a tendency to overcomplicate things in our lives, in the church, or in our families, to the point where we are so hyper-focused on all of these complications, we miss out on the important parts. Children can help remind us what is really important in life. Loving God, loving your family. The third thing we can learn from a child is to have a deeper level of faith. While studying this passage, there was one theme that I kept coming across over and over again. And it was about the level of faith that children have, especially infants. Their faith is really deep in their parents and caregivers because, you know, babies are completely helpless. And so they discover that if they make this noise from their mouth, they get food or they get changed or they can drive their parents crazy just for fun. They cry because they are expecting and trusting for an answer. This is what we can learn, to have faith in such a way that is similar to the way infants trust their parents or caregivers. And yes, that is the one thing that children, really young children, have on us, is faith. And there is something special about the bond of trust that a kid can have with us. It reminds me of a story about a dad. He had this ladder and he asked his son to go get this ball that was stuck in the ceiling of a gym. It was pretty high up. And the son protested. He said, "Dad, no, I'm scared of heights. It's only a ladder. What if I fall?" But then the dad leaned forward and he said to him, "Daddy's got you." The son, he went up the ladder. And when we look at the world today, it is tempting to give into fear. But we can have faith because our Heavenly Father is saying the same thing to us. "I got you." That kid was willing to go outside of his comfort zone because he felt safe with his father. He trusted him and was willing to act on it. God is near you. He invites you to trust him like a child trusts their parents, even when it's hard and confusing, even when life gets scary and challenging. As parents, as a church community, we need to ensure that each and every child is brought to Jesus, just like those parents did in today's passage, so that they can grow in their faith and experience the presence of God in their life, even when it's tedious, even when it's inconvenient. Let's not hinder them. Let's make room for them and teach them so that they can come. Those children in today's passage were brought to Jesus and they got to rest in his arms. And this is a picture of what God wants for us. He wants us to have a level of faith where we can rest in his presence no matter what storms or viruses come our way. Receive God's salvation with joy and let your children know that they are loved every day. And the thing is, you are never too old to be God's child resting in his arms. So let them come. Let's all come. God is near the kids of this church and community. You know, I may not have children of my own, but I do wake up feeling a burden for yours. And I'm not the only one. We have a great team of volunteers here who have taken a lot of time to pour into the lives of the kids of this church. There are people stepping up and out of their comfort zones to learn new skills for the sake of our kids. And I know that we have a lot of great parents who take the time to make sure that their kids know Jesus. God loves his children deeply. He is near to them, holding them, ready to bless them. Will you let them come?